Well, he solved that problem for me. I was sitting there thinking, now, which pulpit do I use? So I was going to get down and use that one, but you know what? This one feels really comfortable right here. It's always good to be here. It's always a blessing to be here. And you know what? Just keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ, no matter what. And after you've been at it as long as we've all been at it here as we sit around and talk about different things, I've been saved 42 years, and I rejoice in Christ Jesus. The smartest thing I ever did was accept Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. Amen. And that's for eternity, and that's for my soul's sake. But I don't think we put enough emphasis on the second smartest thing. The second smartest thing I did was marry Karen, who used to be Karen Auckland, who now is Karen Silvestri. And you know what I've learned? I wish I could get this across to our church, and I'm trying to, desperately. The first one's for eternity. That second decision is going to affect your life. It's either going to make it what we're going to talk about here in John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10. Give you a life and a life more abundantly. Or you're going to cause yourself a lot of grief and heartache. And as you know what? I think we all know this. There's no shortage of grief and heartache. We got no shortage there. Plenty of it. And I'm going to talk to you about something tonight that I think is appropriate. Something we've experienced in our church probably, I don't know, 13, 15 years ago. Something that we've just dealt with over the past weeks that we're going through right now. And if I could sum it up in three words, it would be this: be not deceived. Because as we've been in the ministry and we've seen people get deceived, they're not aware of the fact that they're deceived. You sit there and we've sat there and we have an incident. We had a situation 13 years ago where someone got upset about something. And you know what? Let me see where I am here so I don't overdo it. But someone got upset about something. I had performed their wedding ceremony, and I didn't have a $10 certificate from Columbus, Ohio, that I wasn't even aware of that I needed. Well, this person went on the internet and found out I was supposed to have that, and they found out there was a law on the books in Ohio that said if you perform a wedding ceremony without this $10 certificate, then you can get 6 months in jail, and I think it was a $500 fine. So sure enough, I'm at work one night. I'm working a full-time job and pastoring a church. And my wife calls me and says, Sheriff so-and-so called. And he wants you to call him. And I said, did he say what he wanted? She said, yeah, he said he wanted a copy of your ordination papers. I said, okay, well, that shouldn't be a problem. And then something, a still small voice said to me, call your attorney. And I'm glad I did, Christian man. And I called him and said, look, what should I do? How should I handle it? He said, well, take... Yeah, he said, first of all, do you have an ordination paper? I said, yes, I do. He said, okay, take that down there. Tell him he can make as many copies as he wants. But he said, if he asks you any other questions, you give him my name and my phone number, and you'll be done. So sure enough, I went in there. The guy sits me down, says, okay, do you mind if I make a copy of this? I said, no, if you want to take it out of the glass, you can take it out of the glass. Do whatever you need to do. So he went in, made some copies of it, came back out, and he opened up his drawer, pulled out a legal pad, and dropped it on his desk, and said, now, Mr. Silvestri, how many weddings have you performed? And I did what my attorney told me to do. I said, well, excuse me, here's my attorney's name, here's his phone number, and he just went, okay, thank you very much, Mr. Silvestri, took the thing, dropped it in the drawer, closed the drawer, and walked me out. And you know what? Nothing bad really came of it, but there was a lot of grief at that time. That young couple who in one situation they went to a lawyer and had their four kids signed over to us. If anything were to happen to them, we were going to raise them. Just like that, they wanted me in jail. Because they thought their kids were illegitimate because I performed a wedding ceremony without a $10 certificate. So my attorney says, give me 10 bucks so we can get this stupid little piece of paper from Columbus, for goodness sake. I said, hey, do what you have to do. Now, I say all that to say this. After, I think, 13 years, is it? After 13 years, you know what? Those people are back with us and happy as can be. A few years after the incident, the gentleman called me up and says, Pastor, would you accept my apology? I am sorry about all that happened. I'm sorry about how it happened. I'm sorry about what we said. I'm sorry about how we said it. He said, would you? I said, hey, no problem. Apology accepted. Now go get something done for the Lord. And he did that for a while. And then God brought another situation into his life that kind of upset him in that local church. And then he came to our church and said, hey, would you allow us to come back? Now, you know what? His wife in a Wednesday night ladies session gave a testimony and said, you know why we're back here? She said, we're back here because there is love in this place. And after 13 years, there's only one thing different from how it was 13 years ago. Now the love is just not in the pastor and his wife. It's overflowing into everybody else. Let's look at John chapter 10. Verse 10. Let's start with 9. It always happens, doesn't it? But it does. Look at 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. He's telling me to move this thing up, so bear with me. And if that doesn't work, then we throw it on the floor. That's how that thing works. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. Wait a minute, you with me? He shall be what?
Saved.
And that's a wonderful thing. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. But guess what? Here's what we got to remember along the way. This thing, it's wonderful. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's great. But I have to live here now. I have to function here now in this world. I may not like a lot of things about this world, but I'm here and I have to be here. And I'm here for one purpose. To glorify God. That's the only reason he left us here. If not, you'd get saved and blam, you'd be gone. It'd be an instant rapture, but it doesn't work that way. We're all here for a purpose and a reason. And you know what? I got to be honest about it. When I first got saved, I did not like it here. I wanted to exit and get off the planet. I did. I didn't like anything about this world. Now, I've learned to like it as much as I can, as much as lieth in me. But the only reason I'm liking it is because I've recognized that I'm here for a reason. I'm here to glorify God, here to glorify Jesus Christ. I forget which missionary it was. We had a missionary in, and he quoted Count Zinzendorf, who started the Moravians. We got a Moravian church here about halfway up the island. They came here many, many years ago. They were great preachers of the Word of God. You know what his motto was? He said, my mission is this. My mission is Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know what? I like that. Hey, my mission here is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's why we're here, to glorify Him. So he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So that's what we got to do. We got to find pasture. I can tell you this. You're in the right place tonight to find pasture. You are. You're in the right place. I want you to know that. And you know that this is probably the right group to say it to. This isn't a part of the message. But this Bible, hey, we're Bible believers, aren't we? This Bible says, hang on. Let me get there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep John 10. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? That was one guy. Double honor. Now, I've never heard anybody preach on that, but I think it needs preached on. I do. I've been at this. I've been saved 42 years, been in the ministry quite a few years. My wife and I from day one said, hey, we want to get married and we want to serve Jesus Christ together. That's what we want to do. We want to glorify Him. I've never heard anybody preach on that. But I can tell you this, it needs preached on. Hey, you're in the right place to find that pasture that you talked about in John chapter 10, verse 9, to get fed the way you need to get fed. You have two great pastors here who will do that. But you know what? Don't forget what he told us here. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. You better take care of them. And you know what? You want blessed? That's what Philippians chapter 4 is all about. When you hit verse 19 and he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," the whole context of verses 1 through 18 is giving and giving liberally. Hey, you want blessed? Bless the men of God. And God will bless you. What happened? All my amens faded out on me. What happened? Yeah, that's why they don't preach on that verse. Oh, Lord help us. You know what? You know what I'm learning? I'm learning this. Let me confess something. I'm not a giver. I'm a stingy Italian. I'm not a giver. But God put me together with a giver. If I wouldn't keep an eye on her, she'd give everything that we have away. She would. But you know what? I'm learning something. There's something good about giving. You know, we don't spend a lot of time on it's more blessed to give than to receive. We don't spend a lot of time on that. But it is. You give, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Hey, pray about that double honor thing, would you? Would you do that for me? Just pray about that. Pray about that and say, "Lord, now what does that mean to us here in this local church? How are we supposed to do this thing?" And if you're wondering how, then just keep reading. Because the next verse says, "The scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." And then you know what else? The verse 19 says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Someone talks bad about your pastors, you need to tell them, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." Unless you got a second witness. If there's a big problem, you got a second witness, then we might sit down and talk about it, but I really don't want to hear it. You better thank God for the shepherds that God's given you. You better pray for them every day, do you? I've said this before from this place. I do. I pray for these guys every day. I pray for one guy I talk to sometimes. He'll call me on the phone and I said, "Brother, I pray for you every day." I talked to him recently. He said, "Brother, I got to confess something to you. You said that to me." And I got off the phone and said, "I don't pray for him every day." I said, "Well, why don't you return the favor? Don't you think I need it as much as you need it?" Back to John chapter 10. We won't charge you for that 1 Timothy thing there. All right? But I just want you to think about it. I want you to think on those things. Because you want blessed, that's how God will bless you. "Given it shall be given unto you." John 10:10. "The thief cometh not." But we got a thief. We have an enemy, the devil, the world, our old nature. "The thief cometh not but for to steal." He wants to steal something from you. Can he steal your eternal life? No. So what's the next best thing? Your life here. If he can steal that from you, oh boy, he's got you. He can't get to my soul, but he can mess up my life. So I'll be totally and completely ineffective for Jesus Christ. And my life will just be one big mess. And I'm afraid we've reached a point in America where we have so many people that have messed up their lives so badly that they just want to end them. Hey, don't end it. Just get up one more time. Hey, a righteous man falleth. He's going to fall sometimes. But you know what? Get up again. And again. And again and again. And keep on. You know what? This far down the road, 60 years old on this planet, I've seen a lot of them fall out by the way. And you know what I've learned? It's not the talented guys who make it. It's some of us who aren't so talented. You know why? Because God's touched the hollow of our thigh and we have to lean on Jesus Christ our whole lives. Because we know we don't have what it takes to get it done. So we have to trust the Spirit of God. We must. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I love this part. I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it what? Man, you really sound enthused about this. Hey, this is something we can get excited about. You know what? We've taken this time. You're done with whatever you had to deal with earlier today. Work is over. You're here now. You're in a safe zone now. It's okay. We can rejoice. Hey, I have good news for you tonight, and I have bad news for you. I'm here to give you the bad news. And then the good news. The bad news is, we just read it. You have an enemy that wants to steal something from you, who wants to kill you if he gets permission to do that, who'd love to destroy you and your life. And his name is Satan. This isn't, you know, a fairy tale. This is the real deal. This is reality. And after you live a while, you find out, man, he's hot on our trail. He really is. Now, the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, has come that we might have life and that we might have it what? More abundantly. You know what? I'm finally getting to the point in my Christian life where I'm enjoying an abundant life. For years, my wife would say to me, honey, I know we're Bible believers, but can't we be happy? She says, I know the end of the world's coming. I know America's going to hell. But can't we enjoy life and be happy, for goodness sake? And I'd stop and think, yeah, what would be wrong with that? Hey, we're saved. We're going to heaven. We ought to be the happiest people on this planet. We should be. You know what? I'm getting happy. I am. I'm not waiting for a revival. I'm already having one. And it's possible. We preach too long in this life as Bible believers that it's unattainable. And we've convinced everybody that it's unattainable. It's not. You can enjoy it moment by moment, day by day. Now, it doesn't mean all your problems are going to vanish. But it means in the midst of all your problems, you're going to have peace and comfort and joy. Amen. And you know what? The older we get, it seems like the problems are multiplied. It really does. You know what, folks? This is the part you're not going to like. So I'm already prepared. It's your choice. It's your choice. You remember when you got saved? It was your choice. Hey, we were public ministry last month. Josh Lieb got a hold of a guy across the street, witnessed to him for 45 minutes. We were all done with public ministry. The next thing I know, he's bringing him across the street. And I thought, oh, come on. He brought him. I talked to him for another 10, 15 minutes. Said, Jesse, do you know you need to get saved? Yeah. Where are you going to go if you die? I'm going to go to hell. Would you like to get saved right now? No, I can't. What? I said, Jesse, if I could get down here right now and do it for you, I'd do it for you. If Josh could get down and do it for you, he'd do it for you. If my wife could get down and do this for you, she would do it for you. But it doesn't work that way. You have to do it. It's your choice. Well, guess what? After you get saved, it's your choice too for the rest of your life. And every day you're making choices that are either helping you or hurting you. You know what? Doesn't it always happen? Something happens, a tragedy happens, Columbine, a tragedy happens, Connecticut. And what's everybody say? Where was God? What do you mean, where was God? He didn't squeeze the trigger. You get problems in your life, I get problems in my life. What do we say? Oh, where's God? He's sitting on his throne there, genius. Direct north above the universe. That's where he is. He hasn't moved. He didn't create those problems. Who did? You did. You created the problems. Hey, the problems you're experiencing right now, you created them. Well, that's about a half a dozen of us. Where's the rest of the group? Hey, I've learned this. You better own it. You better learn to own it. And here's what I've learned. If you'll own it and get honest with God, He will bend over backwards to help you. But you got to get honest with Him. Those people that left, when they left, they weren't being honest. We went over their house. We tried to talk sense to them. I said, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come to me when you were having a problem? He said, well, brother, I prayed God would wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up at 3:02. Well, hey, bird brain, did you ever think your clock might be wrong? And who are you to tell God 3 o'clock, bud, or else? Who is this God you're talking to? Must not be the same one I know. The guy I know runs the universe, and I say that reverently. You know, I don't go and try to push him around and get what I want. I want to get in line with where he's heading so I can get the blessings. Amen. That's all. It's your choice what you decide to believe. God allows you to make that choice. You know what? It's your eternity that rests upon your decision. Hey, a lot of people have gotten saved recently. They made a choice. You know what? They made a good choice, didn't they? Jesus Christ, a good choice. You're sitting here tonight. You know why? Because you chose to make some decisions that resulted in you getting here tonight. You did. You made some decisions. The work that the enemy does here on earth is characterized by deceit and by deception. He wants to deceive you. There's three avenues through which the enemy will attempt to disregard God's truth, the Holy Bible, and deceive you into believing his lies. You know what those three things are? And the first one is huge. Self-deception. We deceive ourselves. And you know what the sad thing is? We talked to a gentleman just this past week. He's got himself deceived. He came to me and he said, look, I fasted and I prayed. He was going to do a 3-day fast. 2 days, I got my answer. Well, you know what? He got the answer that he wanted. Because he's got an agenda. He's got something he wants to do. And therefore, while he's fasting and praying, he gets some impression that God says, I want you to go here and do this. You know what that is? That's Ezekiel chapter 14, and we don't have to have time to go there tonight. You know what God says in Ezekiel 14? He says, if you come to me with idols in your heart, I will answer you according to the idols in your heart. If you come to me with preconceived ideas, and you come to me with your agenda, and you want to do something, then I'll answer you and I'll deceive you, God said. Because you're not being honest. You're not being honest with him. You're not being honest with yourself. You're not being honest with the people around you. And this is nothing new. We've seen this thing over and over and over. After a while, I look at my wife and say, same tune, same song. We've been down this road before. Start getting deja vu. You know, we have all been here before. You know. You say, man, we've been down this road too many times. I know where this thing's going. So self-deception. You know what else? There's false teachers, false preachers. They're out there, false prophets. And you know what else? There's deceiving spirits who are just waiting for an opportunity to tie you up in a knot. Now let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If we don't get done, we're just going to conclude it anyway. So,
if you're done, you're fired.
Yeah, all right. James chapter 1. a great verse in the Word of God. You know what? When I was a baby in Jesus Christ, God used this verse to get me moving. James chapter 1, verse 22. You know what? We deceive ourselves when we hear the Word of God, but we don't do it. James 1, 22. What's he say? But be ye what? Doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know how you'll deceive yourself? When you come into church and the Word of God's being preached and you listen to it and you hear it and you go back out there and nothing changes. You've deceived yourself because you didn't listen to what God said. You know what I keep telling our people? I tell them, I got a little secret for you. Take it from Grandpa, an old man. You want to minimize your regrets here. And I can tell you how you do that. Do everything you can do to go by the book. And you will minimize your regrets. Are we all... Is there anybody here who has some regrets? Don't we all have them? We're all going to have regrets. There's going to be things that we've done and said that we're saying, oh, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have said that. What was wrong with me? Oh, God, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That was so stupid. I can't believe I did that. You know, it happens to us. But you know what? I want to minimize those things. So that when I look back, I say, oh, that's not too bad. It could have been a lot worse. I can tell you this. If I wouldn't have followed this book and followed Jesus Christ, man, I'd have all kinds of grief today. I have minimized my grief by following the Word of God. I have minimized my grief because I've tried my best. Even though it might be a feeble attempt, I have tried my best to stay as close as I can to this book. You know what? He says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what that is? That's a choice. You know what that is? That's a moment by moment choice. Man, I've had a light bulb come on recently in my life. And I've just been praying, oh God, guide my thoughts first. You know why? Because the Father is represented by the thought. The Father came up with a plan of salvation, an idea. Chink, chink. He got an idea. The thought was there. The Word came into the world. John chapter 1, didn't it? That's Jesus Christ, God the Son. So it's the thought, it's the Word, and then it's the action. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So if I can get this thing down, I'm spirit, soul, and body. We know that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think verse 24, something like that. We're spirit, soul, and body. Guess what? If I can get my thoughts going in the right direction, and then that will influence my words, so they'll be right, and that will influence what I do in my life. And that will minimize my regrets. And I'll end up with John chapter 10, verse 10, an abundant life. You know what? I'm tired of meeting Bible believers who have long faces. I am. It's like, don't tell anybody you believe the Bible if you're going to have a long face. Because we should be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Right? We should be happy. If you're saved, you ought to be happy. You ought to be contented. If you're not, you know what? You're not doing right. I've had people leave our church. Find out 15 years later why. It wasn't why they said. It was because he was cheating on his wife for 15 years. That's why he left the church. He didn't like the preaching that was coming off that pulpit. Because every Sunday he was getting seared. And he didn't like that. So here's what you do. You got to find something wrong with the preacher. And then if they can't find something wrong with the preacher, I'll tell you what they do next. You got to find something wrong with the preacher's wife. Then if that doesn't work, you got to find something wrong with the preacher's kids. Guess what? You want to find something wrong? Come to me. I'll give you a list. You don't have to search that deeply. I'll help you. Just ask the spouse. They'll give you plenty of ammunition. You know how I know God loves me? Because God put me with a human being who has exhibited that love for 38 years. And that's made a believer out of me. Because in spite of me, she's loved me and prayed for me and encouraged me when I was ready to throw in the towel. And that's been about a million times. You say, you mean you preachers get discouraged? Oh, yeah, about every Monday. Every Monday, I'm ready to write out a resignation. I'm done, man. I am done. D-O-N-E. That's it. I go home and say, nobody's hearing nothing. This is a pleasant song. They don't care. But you know what? That's a lie. They do care. I got a text from a guy who used to be in our church who got married and he moved away. You know what he told me? He sent me a text this week. This was a guy you'd say, this guy will never make it. You know, he's one of these guys, he slicks his hair back, it's black, and he slicks it back with all his, I don't know, axle grease or something. I don't know what he uses. You know, he showed me on his telephone what he uses. Something he's got to send away for, and they all have pictures of themselves with their hair messed up, and it's all slicked back. He's a character, but I love the guy. You know what he said to me this week? He said, I want you to know something. Man, I count you a friend. He said, I started my Bible for the 29th time. I said, hallelujah. Go get him, Al. 29 times. This is number 29. He's coming through. Man, I got happy. Hey, have you read it 29 times? How long you been saved? This guy hasn't been saved that long. This guy's an EMT. This guy's raising two daughters by himself because his wife walked out on him. This guy went to school on the side and I helped him with his math so he could pass and get a bachelor's degree because he's always had a dream from the time he was 5 years old to become a funeral director. And guess what? He prayed one day and said, God, I need a wife. But she's got to be saved. She's got to believe your book. And boy, it'd be great if she was a funeral director. Guess what? Did he say abundant life? He met her. She's born again. Guess what? She believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. And she has her own funeral business. Hallelujah. What a God. Hey, you know what, folks? I don't want you to get deceived tonight. Be ye what? Doer. That was three of you. I lost the rest of you somewhere. Lord, we need some help down here. This is not working. Hey, be ye what? Doers. Doers of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. When you get something, implement it and do it. That's all. You get a grip on a thing. Say, I need to be reading the Word of God. Then start reading the Word of God. And you know what? Make a covenant with God. And say, Lord, I don't want the sun to go down unless I've read at least a chapter in your book. Hey, if you're smart, you read on the way to work. You read on the way home while you're commuting. You go to a motor vehicle, you stand in line, you stand there and read while you're in line. You know, I used to get upset and say, oh, honey, I just don't have enough time. Oh, my goodness, I just don't have enough time. Finally, she said, yes, you do. And I went, what? She said, honey, you got 24 hours just like everybody else. And I went, ooh, rebuke. I said, honey, you're right. You're right. I have 24 hours just like everyone else. So I have to learn to use my 24 correctly. Use it wisely. I have to take what I do get and read it. You know what? I got excited about it and started reading like 3 pages a day or something. Then I heard someone else preach and I got a little more excited, started reading 5 pages a day. Then someone else got up and preached, hey, you ought to be reading 10 pages a day. And so I started reading 10 pages a day. And now I read about 20 pages in my Old Testament and at least 5 in my New. I'm not telling you got to do that. You got to find what works for you. When they went out to collect the manna, it was according to their eating. Some of us have bigger appetites than others. Hey, for me, 20 pages in the old works great every day. And at least 5 in the new works great. And you know what? You can get through your Bible about every 2 months if you do that. You know what? I started reading some stuff about some missionaries who got something done. And I noticed there was a line. They all had the same common denominator in their lives. They were saturating their hearts and minds in the Word of God. And I went, oh, Lord, that's the answer. That's the answer. So if I want to be used of God, if I want Holy Ghost power, I have to saturate myself in this book. This is the only thing that's going to work to keep me out of trouble. You got to read it. You know, it's not a good luck charm. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not. You got to crack it open and read it. It's not going to help to carry it around in your purse. It's not going to bring you good luck or good fortune. It's not going to help to put it on the dashboard of your car. You'll still get a ticket. And he might really hammer you when he sees the Bible. We got to read it. And we have to do it. As you hear God's word, I hope that you'll be honest enough to do that which the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you from the Word of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, the second thing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. I don't think we have a problem owning that. I don't think we do. And we know this. There's two types of sinners here tonight. There's saved sinners and there's lost sinners. That's it. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. We know there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We know that. So first thing is figure out which category you're in. Are you saved or are you lost? Saved sinner or lost sinner? We're all sinners. We've all been separated from God. We lost contact with God 4004 BC when they didn't do what God told them to do. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten that he said, you know what? Tree of life. See over here? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. We've forgotten that. The way of transgressors is hard. You disobey God, you're going to pay. You're going to pay. You know what? You're going to pay a lot of it here. Hey, I know the judgment seat's coming. And your works are going to be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. I know, I understand our God's a consuming fire. But I'm convinced of this. A lot of it, you're going to pay for it right here. Grief, heartache, disappointment, saying, oh God, why did I ever do that? We were talking about some things today. You know what? Man, I call it dodging bullets. God has worked in our lives. We've dodged a lot of bullets throughout the years. You know how you dodge bullets? You do what God says you're supposed to do. And you'll dodge the bullets. And you won't even know half the time that the bullets are coming after you. We know this. Hey, a lot of this is not new, folks. You're either a lost sinner or a saved sinner. If you're a lost sinner, guess what? You need to do something about that. before it's eternally too late. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's simple. Don't make this thing difficult. If you're trying to make it difficult, it's because you're being dishonest with God. Third thing tonight, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Oops, I forgot to look at that watch. Got to keep an eye on that thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You know 1 and 2 by heart, I'm sure. Verse 3, you may not know by heart. Paul says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." But to think how? Soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 tells us, "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself." Had a gentleman come to me months back, maybe a year by now, I don't know. And the first thing he said to me is, "Pastor, I've been doing some studying." As soon as he said that, man, red flags. Phew, 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 they went up. And I thought, oh boy, it's going to be a good one. "Well, I've been studying what Dr. Ruckman says, and I've been studying what this guy said." And I said, "Hey, I appreciate Dr. Ruckman. I've followed him for years. Now, I wouldn't go to him for marriage counseling. But I appreciate the guy. You want to learn the Bible, he knows the English Bible. Hey, you'll get that from him." But he started out with, "Pastor, I've been doing some studying." And it went downhill from there. Because the next thing you know, he's thinking himself to be something when he's nothing. And you know what? He wants to tell me how to run the church. I had one guy years ago that showed up in our church, and he met with me once, he met with me twice, and I, you know, I'm a baseball fan, strike three, you're out. Third time he showed up, he parked his truck so it was pointing out of the driveway, and then he told me that. And I sat the guy down and I said, "Well, let me just say this to you. You're telling me that that church over there, West Hill Baptist Church, they're not doing it right." And he was right. They weren't. They threw the Bible out. "And then you're telling me that Heritage Baptist Church over here, they're not doing it right." I said, "Now you've come to this church and guess what? We're not doing it right." I said, "You know what? Let me recommend something to you. Go start a church and show us all how to do it. Because you're the genius and we're all doing it wrong. Let me tell you something, folks. Think about this. Do you have problems in your life? Do you have problems in your family? You know what a pastor does? Now multiply that 100-fold. Because he's got to take care of himself and his wife and his family and our problems. And now he's got to deal with your problems and yours 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 and yours. Do you get it? And you wonder sometimes why we seem like we're a little overwhelmed. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Virtue goes out of you. My wife and I understand what that verse means now. It's taken about 20 or 30 years, but we understand now what it means. When Jesus, you read about Jesus and it said virtue went out of him. Man, you spend 2-3 hours talking to someone. When you're done, virtue has gone out of you. You are drained emotionally, physically, spiritually whipped. You're done. You want to jump in your car and take a long ride and maybe not come back. That's how it is. And I'm not crying. I love Jesus Christ. And I love the ministry. But that's the reality of it. This is not a cakewalk. This is not something that you want to do unless you have a call. Old Pastor Mel used to say it. There's easier ways to make a living. Believe me. Hey, when we think that we're more than we really are, we've deceived ourselves. You might be here tonight and you might think you're smarter than God. Oh, no, not me, preacher. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens. We've seen it happen over and over and over. You thought you were slick. But you know what? I'm sure some of you are here tonight because you got problems. And this is a good place to be if you got problems. I'll tell you what, those shrinks, they can only go so far, and those doctors can only go so far. We had Karen's dad at a heart surgeon. He got a valve replaced, and we went back to see that surgeon 6 weeks later. You know the advice he gave my father-in-law? He said, stay away from doctors. They'll kill you. That's what a surgeon told him. He's 84 years old, and he's in great health. He's been playing golf since he had that valve replaced. But he told him, hey, you want to continue on and have an abundant life? Stay away from doctors. They'll kill you. This is one of their own saying that. Hey, they just about killed Milton Martin a couple weeks ago. He said, man, I thought it was it. They wanted to put a feeding tube in. I told him, nope, this is it. If I'm going home, I'm going home. Later, he went to his heart doctor and said, you know what? You know what messed you all up that almost killed you? That medicine they gave you. And he was like, oh, my goodness. Hey, you know what? Sometimes the cure will kill us faster than the disease. We got to be careful. Hey, you know what, folks? Do something with your life. Can I say this? While you're still young and you can move, do something with your life. Hey, we're glad we did what we did when we did it. Because now on my way here, I've tried to get out of the car. My wife's over there laughing. She's about having a heart attack. I said, honey, you laugh. I can't walk. I'm still trying to straighten up. Sit there for 2 hours in that thing, man. It's like, oh, Lord, this thing's killing me. My dad's going to be 94 in January. You know what he used to say when we go visit him? I say, Dad, how you doing today? And he'd say, man, I hurts all over. You know what? I know what he's talking about now. It's like, is there anything that doesn't hurt? That's a good day. Hey, I was sitting down there in Pastor Pat's office earlier, and I looked over there and I saw this little thing. That thing's great. You know how you know you had a good day? I think it was a little fourth grader or a four-year-old. And you know what he said? I didn't bite anybody or hit anybody. That's a good day. I said to my wife, did you see that? That's great. I love it. I didn't bite anybody and I didn't hit anybody. Let me tell you something. In the ministry, there's times you want to bite somebody or hit somebody. I always say this. It's enough to make a preacher cuss. There are some saints that are enough to make a preacher cuss. There really are. And God help us, we don't want to do that. You know what? God gave you breath. God gave you life. You need to do something with it while you have it. Don't just sit here and complain. Don't blame somebody else. Do something to change your status. What are you going to do? I'll tell you the best thing to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then be it unto you according to your faith. There you go. Hey, Jesus Christ promised to make you free. You have no business living in bondage. None. None. That is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You need to get right with Jesus Christ and do something with your life to glorify Him. And man, you do that, oh, when you get to heaven, you are going to be happy, happy, happy. If you don't do that, oh, you're going to wish you would have. Oh, let's see. There's only 3 more points in 2 minutes, right? What time we need to be done? It's 8:31. We need to be done at 8:30. You know what? I'll just give them to you quick. You know how we deceive ourselves also? According to James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, when we don't bridle our tongues. You know what? We don't realize it. There have been some times in my life, there was one day, I don't even know what we had going on, but I was bummed. And I was out in my garden, And I was down on my hands and knees. I just said, Lord, I just want to get in the dirt. And I said, you know, Lord, it would be great to hear some good words today. Some comfortable words today. Just be great to hear that. And you know what? The Lord does that for you every now and then. Someone showed up, and I don't remember who it was or what the circumstances were. And when they left, I just said to myself, those were good words. Those were comfortable words. I needed that. I needed that today. And you know what? We don't stop and think of the fact that sometimes pastors need to hear some good words and comfortable words. That guy I mentioned that started his Bible for the 29th time, he sent me a text today. Said, I spent time with your son and his family after nursing home ministry this morning. I spent time with this other family in our church, and I spent time with this other family. What a blessing. What a blessing. And you know what? He said, Pastor, he said, that's a result of what you're doing. And I said, oh, Lord, I needed that. I needed to hear that. You know what I did? I locked that message. You know why? I might need that next week. I might need that. I might need to go back and reread that thing next week or next month. Because you don't know the burdens that a pastor carries. Because he's carrying a lot of burdens. And they're not all his. The next thing. We deceive ourselves when we think that we're not going to reap what we sow. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, you are going to live. Mark it down, folks. You're going to live with the results and the consequences of your thoughts, of your words, and of your deeds, your actions. You're going to live with the results, whether they're good or bad. I keep saying it. My youngest son's got the right philosophy. You know what he keeps telling me? Dad, that's not your problem. And I've told my wife, you know what? We need to listen to John. He said, Dad, that's not your problem. That's their problem. You know what else you find out in the ministry? My wife and I care more about some people's marriages than they do. Those things ought not so to be, brethren. Our kids have pulled us aside and said, whoa, you guys need to take a chill pill. You care more about their marriage than they do. They don't care about it. What are you grieving over it for? What are you weeping for? Why are you fasting and praying for them? They don't care. And a lot of times they don't. But guess what? That's okay. That's okay. But there does come a point of self-preservation where you say, you know what? We got to let this thing go. And the older I get, I say, you know what? I'm not losing sleep over this one. I'm not getting an ulcer over this one. I'm not getting a kidney stone over this one. No, thank you. This is their problem. It took them 20 years to screw it up, and now they want me to fix it in 10. Folks, if it took you 20 years to screw it up, I'm not a magician. I can't fix it in an hour. It's probably going to take you another 20 to fix it, at least, especially as bad as you screwed it up. That's a couple of us. Hey, we're going to reap what we sow. Numbers 32:23 says it. Be sure your sin will what? It's going to find you out. Don't think you're going to get over on God. This is not Mr. Potato Head. This is God. You're not going to get over on Him. Your sin is going to find you out. So you better do right. Hey, guess what? I believe this. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. You know how I know that? Because we know it as believers in Jesus Christ. You know how I know that? The unsaved world, they know we're running out of time. They know this thing can't continue on like this. They know it. It's not going to work. Hey, you're going to reap what you sow. It's going to be payday someday. We know this. It's appointed on a man what? Wants to die, but after this, what? The judgment. It's coming. You know what? God loves you enough that He says this. Come now and let us what? Reason together. God said, let's be reasonable about it. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's hash this thing out. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if you're willing to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The last point. You know what? We deceive ourselves when we think that we can continue to associate with bad company and not be corrupted. You're kidding yourself. Any alcoholic knows you better stay away from those guys that drink. Hey, I had a guy come to me. Oh, Lord help me here. I had a guy come to me a month ago. He said, Pastor, I'm going to leave the church. He already told my son, tell your dad I'm going to leave the church. Kind of softened it for me. So he said, came to my house, rapped on the door, came in, kind of want some iced tea, a cup of tea, whatever. We sat down. He said, okay, Pastor, I'm going to leave the church. I said, why? He said, well, I think I need to go to a bigger church where there's more opportunity to minister. Now I already knew why he was really leaving because my son gave me a heads up. But you know what I did? I sat him down and I said, let me ask you something. Have you really thought this thing through? I said, number one, God gave me three things. I said, number one, you're going to go to a church that doesn't believe the Word of God. How long is it going to be before you don't have the book? I said, number two, you were a drummer in three bands. How long is it going to be before you're sitting up there behind the drum set beating it out like you used to do at all the bars and everything that went with it? I said, how long is it going to take? I said, number three, you know as well as I know you've had a problem with alcohol in your life and the drugs with it. But the alcohol was the big thing for him. I said, that church doesn't have very good standards. I said, I know this for a fact. They think it's okay to go out and have a steak and get a pitcher of beer with it. So let me ask you something. How long is it going to be before you're ordering that pitcher of beer? And before you're getting drunk? And before you're getting high again? I said, okay. Israel wanted a king. God said, warn them what's going to happen. Give them their king. I said, hey, there it is. 3 points. The Word of God, the drinking, and the band. I said, hey, you can go. I said, but let me say one more thing before you go. Those doors that you just came through to get into my house, those doors are always open to you. And those doors down there at the church building at 344 North Columbus, those doors are always open to you. So if you realize you've made a big mistake 6 months from now, don't let the devil beat you up. Come back and knock on the door. Amen. That was Friday afternoon. Saturday night, late at night, I got a text message. It said, Pastor, I'll see you tomorrow in church. Forgive me for being a problem child. That's what he said. And you know what? He went out 2 weeks ago, and he and my son led a woman to the Lord going door to door. They went to the young people's place. We used to call it a detention home. Now it's an attention home. They won 6 guys to the Lord there. You can do what you want. You can do what you want. But don't deceive yourself. He says it in 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. He says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. That's something that's not being preached in our circles, folks. That's something that nobody wants to go there. But that's what the Bible says. And are we not Bible believers? And isn't this one of Paul's epistles? He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. And then he says, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Shame on you! You know what? How long have you been saved? And you haven't told anybody about Jesus Christ? Shame on you. Shame on you. Did you get it? Shame on you. You say this is a wonderful thing. You say this eternal life is soul. Well, then why aren't you telling anybody about it? You know what I do every day when I leave? I load up my pocket. You know why? To remind me that I'm supposed to open up my mouth. I'm supposed to engage someone. I'm supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. That's just a reminder. My goal is come home with an empty pocket. I didn't do so well today. Nobody's perfect. But you know what? You better remind yourself what you better be doing. You better remind yourself what your priorities are here. Or you're going to wish you did. My parents always taught me this. They were unsaved. But they said, you get like the company you keep. So you know what? You better choose your company wisely. Hey, we have a boy with cerebral palsy. They wanted to put him in a program and pick him up at 8 o'clock in the morning, drop him off at 5. We said, no. They said, you guys are abusive parents. We said, you can think what you want to think. God gave us that boy. We'll teach him. We'll train him. We'll equip him to live in this world. If we put him there in United Cerebral Palsy and it was on this island, he'll rise to the level of the people in the class who have it so severely they're slobbering all over themselves. If we put him with people who are, quote, quote, normal, you know what he'll do? He'll strive to meet that level. And that's what we did, and we have no regrets. He's a preacher. He's a city councilman. He's a husband. He's a daddy. And he's a blessing. You know what? I'm glad I didn't follow what the world told me to do. I'm glad I took it serious that God said, that's your boy, and daddy, you're responsible for him. And you better do everything you can do to help mama to train that boy right when you're not there. I've learned this. You got to smile every now and then. Because if not, people think you're mad at them. I'm not mad at you. Someone said it this way. They said, if you put on white gloves and you go outside and you mess around in the mud, the result will be that the gloves get muddy. The thing you got to think about is the mud never gets glovey. I know that's a profound truth. But you get like the company you keep. So you better choose wisely. You've obviously deceived yourself into thinking that you're so smart that you're not going to get caught. But you know what? You're going to get caught. You don't think it's going to catch up with you? But it is. You deceived yourself into thinking something that was not true. And the sad thing that we've seen over and over again is the person, when they're deceived, doesn't know they're deceived. They're convinced that they're right and that you don't know what you're talking about. You know what, folks? You better go by the book. And I'm going to just quit right here. The thief comes to do what, according to John 10? To steal. He comes to kill. And he comes to destroy. While the Lord Jesus Christ comes to give you life. And to give you life more abundantly. To give you all things richly to enjoy. And he comes that you might abound more and more, and that you might increase more and more, and that you might become more like Jesus Christ. Didn't he say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? He didn't say that about me. He didn't say that about you. But if you crucify self and let the Son shine in you, then he'll look down and say, That's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Because you're complete in Him. What choice will you make? What's her name? Annie Johnson Flint wrote a poem called The Heaviest Cross. She said this, "It is not His cross that is heavy. It is those that our hands have made that hinder us on our journey, on our aching shoulders laid. There is strength for the load He gives us and balm for the thorn He sends, but none for the needless burdens and none for our selfish ends. We bear a burden of sorrow. We carry a weight of gold. We cling to some treasured idol and will not loose our hold. We bend beneath our troubles and our worries. We drag the load of our wrong. And we cry that the cross is heavy and sigh that the way is long. Let us drop the sin that besets us. Let us cast aside our fears. Let us give our griefs to the Lord Jesus and break our pitcher of tears. Let us learn of the meek and lowly who giveth the weary rest. Let us take His yoke upon us and walk with Him abreast. For His yoke is easy to carry, and His burden is light in weight. He will do His share of the labor, for He is a true yoke mate. Are we weary and heavy laden? Are we anxious and full of care? This is not the cross of His giving, but the one that we make and bear." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for this Bible that we have. Where the word of a king is, there's power. And Lord God, thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You that He makes intercession for us tonight. Thank You that He's going to bat for us tonight. Thank You for the Holy Spirit of God and Him making intercession for us. Oh God, thank You for the local churches that You've given us. Thank You for the preaching of Your holy word, the teaching of Your holy word, the fellowship of Your people, that we have the privilege of encouraging one another. So Father, help us. Help us, Lord, work in us. Lord, work in us to will, work in us to do of Your good pleasure. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, fill us with all the fullness of God, that we could be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, You minister to the need of each and every heart here. Lord, You know the need. I don't. And Lord, do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and all that we think, that we might glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mike.